Thinkin' Thursday has arrived. Bill Landis, Jeremy Birmingham, I am Austin Ward, and Ohio State's spring camp is, what, it's got 48 hours left. What are you looking at me like that for?
So we went from Wondering Wednesday to Thinkin' Thursday?
You told me Freaky Friday, come on. You told me you loved alliteration. You've been trying to get me to use more puns.
Using Monday?
You caused this.
Okay. Bill, what are you thinking? On Thursday.
Hold on.
Is there a rule?
There are rules.
Now he's hijacking Thursday.
I need a thought that you had at the start of spring camp that you now think is crazy.
A thought that I had at the start of spring camp that was crazy?
Yes. We're taking it up a notch.
Man, I don't know.
All right, just wrong.
Wrong? I don't know.
Everything was right.
I didn't get it.
No,
wrong.
I don't. I'm trying to remember my thoughts from the start of spring. I don't know. This is not exactly that. I don't like a thing that I thought like differently. Can I do that?
Yes.
It's different. Okay. I don't know.
Sorry, we're never wrong.
It's not about never being. I think I maybe underestimated how much of a jump Josh Simmons could make. This offseason. And I know Berm has been out there with it, so credit to you, because I think you're going to be on the right side of history with that. But the way that Ryan Day talked about him on Wednesday, but also just like the way he talked about himself and the confidence that he exuded, like for me, it was like never physical skill with him. Like it was some like, you know, strength in the run game, that kind of thing. But like he moves really well. He was pretty good pass protector for Ohio State last year. He did cut down on the penalties, and like Justin Fry's talking about how I think Josh Simmons is like understanding things in a much better capacity than he was last year. I think the experience of just playing at this level now for one season has done a lot for him. And I was trying to think the other day about the returning left tackles, or returning tackles probably more generally in the Big Ten. And there are some good ones, but I think it's possible now on the table that Josh Simmons might elevate himself to the front of that conversation. Mm. And I definitely did not think that about him coming into this offseason. I thought he was going to be more of just like a serviceable left tackle that doesn't hurt you, but like doesn't really wow you with anything that he does. But maybe he can be more than that now.
It is pretty remarkable that we've spent so much time talking about the experimentation and the roster lineup jumbling on the right side and even at center with the competition. And it's like, left side's good.
Not even a word about it.
Nothing to say about it. Donovan Jackson and Josh Simmons are there, and there's no conversation. Oh, could this guy play left or right? Which we'd had all of last year with Josh Fryer in the spring. It's like, nope, just worry about the right side.
I thought that Jeremiah Smith might be the best receiver on the Ohio State roster at the start of spring. And look, I think
this
now,
is one of those things where, oh, my weakness is my strength.
I care too much. I think now he might be the best receiver in America in college football.
Oh, you should. You aim too low.
Yeah. So, like, sorry about that. But I there was all
Does this. Freshman time, ever won a bullet in a call?
Not. I don't know.
Maybe. I think a redshirt freshman.
Yeah, I think Larry Fitzgerald might have as a redshirt freshman, but I don't.
That's the conversation we're having like, after 13 practices of spring.
We try to calm the fire around freshmen often because, generally speaking, it's the tactful way to approach the things and prudent. And I knew he was going to be good.
Just me pouring gasoline.
I knew he was going to be really, really good. But I thought it would take a little bit longer to get to that point. And, like, all of the conversation we hear around this building is not that, like, oh, he's really good for a freshman. It's like, he's the best receiver on the team. He's the guy who the offense is running through in the passing game. And, like, those conversations, again, it's spring ball. A lot of this stuff is, there's 14 footballs being thrown at one time. So make of it what you will. But, like, I don't think we could have anticipated that he would be where he is right now. And then, like, when you couple that with Julian Sayin's emergence at the same time, like, there is a real potential, likely in 2025, for, like, a truly special group, like a truly special connection between those two. So I don't know that that's right or wrong, but I definitely did not think he would be, like, and I was, like, on the bus, leading the, I was driving the bus, right? Like,
you've been engineering that train for 2 years.
He is better than I could have possibly thought he would be.
Mm.
So this has turned into we weren't right enough.
Yeah, I mean, in this specific instance, I just was not right enough. Yeah. But I'll get to what I was wrong about. Yeah. Also,
I mean, because the next step was going to be something that you thought that has been validated, and you just don't even think you're calling it wrong.
It was wrong because I said over and over in his recruitment, he's the best receiver in the last 20 years. He's the best receiver since Julio Jones in 2008. So, like, I should have been able to line those things up and be like, okay, Julio Jones did this at Alabama as a true freshman. He can be that guy. But, like, you look at the rest of the receivers in the room, and you're like, okay, he's not going to now. But then, yes. Hmm. Really high-level conversation.
That's all right. That's a lot to think about.
I'll get to what I got.
Which correct take of yours are you going to try to twist in a way to make it sound like you were...
I don't know that I have enough correct takes to get to that point. I thought that Ohio State's tight end depth was going to be in a much healthier spot by the end of spring. And at least compared to like getting to a Ferrell-Ruckert combo level. And I don't think they are. And that doesn't mean that they can't be. But I'm a little bit concerned about the ability to get into 12 personnel and use it the way that Ryan Day wants to and Chip Kelly wants to, and what that means for the rushing attack and, you know, balancing out the offense and all those things. It's so important. And I can get the, like, well, that's if the worst thing that's going on at Ohio State is that they didn't develop enough high in depth at tight end, like they can still win a lot of games. And I definitely understand that and get that. But I just thought it's not for a lack of effort. Will Kazmierik, every time we've been in here, has been getting extra work in. And, you know, I think that the learning curve is steep and he's got enough runway ahead of him that he can still be tight end number one. G. Scott continues to get pretty good glowing reviews from Ryan Day for what he could do. He talked on Wednesday as well, Ryan Day did, about Jelani Thurman's physical growth and development. And he named Patrick Gerd and the rest of that unit. It's like, hey, it's coming along nicely. I thought it would be much better, and that they wouldn't have to like really take a look at the state of that group heading into the summer. And I'm a little uncertain about it right now and what that may mean for the offense as a whole. Again, is it a small thing for me to worry about? Maybe, I don't know, but I thought it would be easier for them to get through this spring than it has been.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of that position either. Like, it's good to hear that the G. Scott has made progress as a blocker, but maybe it's just my own like prior. Like I don't really view him as a guy who can be number one tight end here. Like, listen, if he is in the fall and he's good, like I'll eat those words. Sure, I've been wrong before, but I think they really need like Will Kazmierik to probably make more of a jump perhaps than he has thus far. And maybe it's not the end of the world that he hasn't in spring. Maybe we took for granted just how difficult of a leap that was going to be. But there could be better vibes, I guess. And I don't even know that they're bad. Just that, like, in the context of the team where there's a lot of good, like, it is a question mark.
I also underestimated the ability of these linebackers to make a significant leap over that same amount of time. I don't know why I would have thought this. It should seem obvious for anyone with two sets of eyes to look at Sonny Styles and CJ Hicks and Arvell Reese and Gabe Powers, setting aside that Cody Simon was already a relatively proven commodity there, and be like, yeah, that. Those athletes are probably going to be pretty good, and they're going to pick things up quickly. I sort of slow played that group maybe more than I should have, because now what I'm watching for the times we've got to see them in Student Appreciation Day most specifically, that's terrifying. Yeah. What those people can do.
That was going to be my next thought.
Okay,
was the linebackers and how
take the baton.
How much they've improved over our early expectation, because my thought was that linebacker depth was going to be a major concern for this team, not just in the spring, but moving forward. And I do not feel that way at all now. But I'll pivot off that. I thought that it would be much easier for the transfers who played a lot of football to come in here and quickly establish themselves as the guys at their position. It's happened for Caleb Downs, of course, but that's different. It has not happened for Will Kazmierik, has not happened for Seth McLaughlin, and has not happened for Will Howard. And that is something I was wrong about. I thought that the decision to bring in those three guys in spots where there was a lot of uncertainty before for Ohio State heading into the spring, that you would just pencil them in and say, these are the starters. Let's start working toward that being the case. And whether it's because those guys came in here, that Devin Brown and Carson Hinsman and G. Scott and Jelani Thurman and have got a fire lit under their butts, what I don't know. Maybe it's just that those guys didn't understand the leap. Seth McLaughlin obviously understood the level of competition from Alabama to here, but for Kansas State and OU, maybe they weren't ready for this elevation of competition. But whatever the reason, I just don't think that those guys have made the early impact that I would have assumed they would. So I was wrong, America, and I'm sorry. You deserve better. So that's why we're going to let Bill talk now.
What's something that you were right and are still right about and always will be right about?
I think I'm going to be proven right that the identity of this team is going to be one like that runs the football. Which I probably am talking about too much at this point. But like Ryan Day keeps talking about the quarterback's mobility. Like I think that is – I don't think it's lip service. Like I think they are going to run the quarterback this fall. Now, if the room blows up, maybe they change that thought process. But I think you're misusing Will Howard if you don't run him some, and I think that they will. The two running backs are studs. I think running the ball probably suits this offensive line more than it does dropping back to try to pass it 40 times a game. And Chip Kelly wants to run the rock, and they were pretty good at it for most of his time at UCLA. And now they kind of have like the brain trust behind that with he and Justin Fry and now Tim Drevno being here to kind of bring that over and help enhance this offense. So I have felt more validated, I guess, throughout the spring and feel even more confident now as the spring ball is wrapping up that is very much going to be the identity of this offense. And like Jeremiah Smith is going to get his and like, he can still win the Blitnikoff as a freshman, even if they're going to run the ball as much as I think they're going to. But if we have been accustomed over the last couple of years to this offense being pass first, I do not think it's going to be that way this fall.
Did you feel on Wednesday any pushback from Ryan? He's talking about the quarterback run game and how like it could be about, and then you hear him at the end. Plus Justin, though, but then all of a sudden he was so hurt at the end of the year. Like, is it because they think and are confident in the depth at quarterback this year that allows that philosophy to persist? Yeah. Because I think that's always been Ryan Day's ideal philosophy, is having a quarterback that can move. But he didn't want Justin Fields to run the ball. He never wanted C.J. Stroud to run the ball. And when he talked about it on Wednesday, like, oh, this is going to be an important part of the game. And then, like, you could almost see the color leave his face. And maybe that was the allergies. But maybe it wasn't.
He was battling
out. Maybe it was just him going, oh, my gosh, see, Justin was destroyed by the time we played Alabama.
But you know what that is, Berm? That's like...
It's a man fighting against his own soul.
It's the same thing as, I need to give up play calling. I need an offensive coordinator I trust, but I don't want to. Yeah. Ryan Day knows that to win a national championship, your quarterback has to do something with his legs. It's not about just being healthy enough to have C.J. Stroud against Georgia. They could not have nearly won that game if C.J. was not doing things with his legs. So it worked to that extent, but to win a championship game, to win in the rivalry again, like that's going to require the quarterback assisting on third and two.
A little different, a little je ne sais quoi.
Yeah. And I think,
but I do sais quoi. And it's the running game with the quarterbacks. That's what I say, quoi.
I think there will be times when you're going to have to do those things, and maybe the voice in the back of Ryan Day's head is going to tell him to not do it. But then the voice that in voice, his headset, that is Chip Kelly, is going to say, we're running the quarterback.
So two things are accomplished at the same time. Yeah. Play calling's gone, and guess what? The quarterback is going to run. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to order the code red anymore.
That's right. Yeah. I'll push
Chip Kelly is on that wall for you.
Yep.
Anyway, I think they're going to run the ball a lot with the quarterback specifically. That's what I anticipated by making the choice with Will Howard, with having Devin Brown here. And
Julian Sain can run. Like, he's a pretty good athlete. He's
I don't know that I've seen enough. I just don't know.
Yeah, I'm just going off high school tape.
He's fighting against high school kids. That's the difference. It's different.
But those high school kids become college kids.
Most of those don't.
Not many in Carlsbad, California.
They're going pro in something other than sports.
They're going to college in something other than sports.
One final thing that I was right about before the spring, and I still feel right about now, is that safety depth is my biggest concern on this entire roster. That's good.
Yeah. There was nothing that we saw that could have alleviated that concern with Malik Hartford out, with Lathan Ransom limited.
Yeah, I mean, there is...
Well, this could, if, can you... If you put yourself in a different timeline, I guess, like those two guys are healthy and like out there and running around, you think you'd be
perfectly fine.
Okay.
But we've not seen Ohio State get through the season without losing a starting safety for the last 5 years. So it becomes a real concern because the guy you brought in conceivably to be that depth piece a year ago, Jahad Carter, we haven't even seen in weeks.
Mm-hmm. Also injured.
Yeah. And he's been hurt, or Malik Hartford's been hurt. Jaden Bonsu missed all last year because of injury. Cedric Hawkins, we don't know if he's more of a nickel slot guy. He's not a regular deep safety. Like, that is a concern. So if there's a spot for me where I want to see Ohio State be really aggressive starting next week, it's adding safety depth. But that's one spot where, like, again, we haven't seen him get through the season.
It's a hard sell.
We haven't seen him get through the season without losing someone at that spot. So that, when Ryan Day is talking on Wednesday about how there's a lot of football to play, we're going to need depth. Like, they need it badly at that spot.
Yeah, I wonder how that would look. Like, would you like to come back up Caleb Downs and Lathan Ransom? It's not the most enticing sales pitch in the world, but...
Would you like to come play with Lathan Ransom and Caleb Downs?
Mm. Wow, you've done it.
There it is.
You sold it.
Mm. Would you like to come learn from these guys and be the starting safety opposite Caleb Downs a year from now?
Yeah.
Maybe win a national title.
Yeah. Mm. That could work.
The kids still love winning, okay? I love winning.
I do. Yeah. It's the best.
This place has gotten sick of winning. That's the problem. There's so much winning.
Those banners, they got different colors.
Dusty.
They need a little dust on. They need a new one. We'll see if they take another step towards that. Two practices left, guys. Friday and then Saturday, the spring game, noon in the Horseshoe. Looking forward to that and a lot more coverage before Ohio State does close down spring camp.
Thanks. Buy your tickets.
$10, general admission. You can sit anywhere.
Anywhere.
Get the best seats
free
in the
parking.
Shoe.
65 degrees and sunny. Perfect day.
Show up a little bit later so the media can get some good parking spots and then be there. And we'll wave to you from the field or the press box, wherever we happen to be. Anyway, we'll be back with a Freaky Friday on the Podcast Daily tomorrow. Coach's Clinic going on. We'll have a little bit of coverage maybe from that as well. We'll see as the week rolls along here on the podcast. That's Bill Landis and Jeremy Birmingham. I'm Austin Ward. We'll see you.